Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So politics can be pretty messy. I mean, right now they even can't get debate on the floor about financial regulation in Congress. But at least they're not throwing eggs and smoke bombs.
A sistema працює.
Добро ранку. Шановні народні депутати.
That's not a soccer game. That's actually the parliament in the Ukraine yesterday. They are about to ratify an agreement to extend the lease of Russia's Black Sea naval base. Controversial topic, to say the least. Legislators got a little bit crazy.
Well, they're not used to freedom of speech there in Ukraine and Russia. So they need
You're speaking facetiously. You need to make sure that people know that. The speaker had to put an umbrella over his head to guard himself from the eggs. We're joined now by the BBC's expert in Ukrainian and Russian affairs, Alexei Solohubenko. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is eggs a typical Ukrainian traditional protest form?
Yeah, it's been around previously as well. The current Prime Minister Yanukovych, when he was the opposition leader, was also attacked by an egg in western Ukraine. So eggs is an instrument. But I think eggs is a reflection of a very, very serious underlying emotionality of this whole issue of Russian presence in Ukrainian territory. And I think you can understand the emotions, even though you cannot understand the behavior.
I can absolutely understand the emotions. And it seems to me that as though Ukraine is split. There is parts of the country who are relatively pro-Moscow and the other part which are just as passionately anti.
Indeed, this is the historical thing. This is the history that went far beyond the boundaries of the Soviet Union. It started much earlier than that. And the city of Sevastopol is extremely emotional for the Russians. They believe this is the glory of their fleet. This is where their naval base was located. And Catherine the Great, the Empress of Russia, basically set up the port, set up the base there after defeating the Turks. So this is all history. But, I mean, this happened many years ago. Now the modernity of the situation is that what happened actually is, in the view of many in Ukraine, and not just on the nationalist front, is the continuation of this base of instability. Because military bases in the former Soviet Union are never a source of stability, a source of long-term kind of peaceful existence. They always bring in this element of friction, element of caution. And you should remember that the Russian Black Sea Fleet, for instance, took part in the war against Georgia, crossing the Black Sea Fleet from its base in Sevastopol. So there are lots of implications in it. It's not just an innocuous kind of continuation of a lease of a base.
Well, there's also a lot of money involved here. I mean, the Russia had offered a subsidy worth about $40 billion to Ukraine for continuing the lease on that Black Sea port for them.
Indeed. And again, opinion is divided in Ukraine. Some people say this is a good price to pay. The others say you can't really buy freedom, liberty and independence. So it carries on, it continues, and it's not the end of the story.
It was ratified, though. Any chance it's going to come up again soon?
Well, the former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko is now rallying the masses around the Ukraine, and she's saying she will revoke it if she is re-elected. But that will take some time, at least 5 years from now.
Alexei Solohubenko joins us from London. Thank you so much.